Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll continue in our study to few more verses of Quran chapter 4. We'll begin our study by looking at what Allah stated in Quran chapter 4 and verse 32. For there we read, "And do not desire the bounty which Allah has given some of you above the others. The men will have a portion according to what they earn, and to the women a portion according to what they earn. And ask Allah for his bounty. Surely Allah was knowing of all things." Before we even move on to the important portion of our study, I have to draw your attention to that which is written concerning was. Allah was. And it is an amazing because if you investigate all other English translators of the Quran, you find that they all fix it by making it Allah is instead of Allah was. But how Allah ended Quran chapter 4 and verse 32 is very simply. It is, "Surely Allah was knowing of all things," which means in reality Allah does not know, because this was just in the past. Allah right now does not have a clue about what is happening in the life of the Muslim believers. Now, the portion which I'd like to concentrate on for our study for today is that which is written in the first half of that verse, where Allah stated, "And do not desire the bounty which Allah has given some of you above the others." Now, I'd like to share with you what stated by Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, concerning the reason why Allah descended that verse on the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, Muhammad. It was said by Ibn Abbas that a woman came to the prophet. So she said to him, "You say that men have double portion of women, and the witness of the woman is equal to half of that of a man. If we do good works, will it be the same?" Meaning, if a woman did good work, will she have half of the goodness which Allah gave to all men? That is obviously what is written about the reason why Muhammad received Quran chapter 4 verse 32 by the great Muslim scholar Al-Sayyuti. Now, Al-Musanna, another man, said that when the portion of the verse to the male, the double of that of the female, was descendant on Muhammad, the men said, "We wish that Allah would increase on the women of his goodness, as it was in the case also of the inheritance." And it is amazing that we see that men in Muhammad days felt sorry for the women, because it's not right, it's not fair for a woman to receive half of the blessing, even when she does good work, equal to what men do. But notice what comes after that, which is shocking to my bones, when we read, وَقَالَتْ النِّسَاءُ لَهُمْ نَصِيبًا مِنَ الزُّنُوبِ. And also, women said that they have double portion of sins. Imagine with me, if a woman commits a sin, which is the same sin a man will commit, she will get twice as much punishment for her sin that a man would receive for committing the same sin. As men receive twice as much in the inheritance, women receive twice as much punishment for their sin. And that is the interpretation of Quran chapter 4, verse 32, by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. That's why Allah said to Muhammad, "And do not desire the bounty which Allah has given some of you above the others." Allah, in simple words, my friends, preferred men. He loved men and he does not love women. So when men receive inheritance, he received twice as much than a woman. When a man testify as a witness, his testimony is equal to the testimony of two women. When a man do good, he receive twice as much of the goodness of Allah than if a woman does the same good work. And when a woman sins, she will be punished twice for the same sin which a man commits. And don't argue with Allah. Do not question the word of Allah. This is His will. This is His order. This is His word. And no one can change the words of Allah. This is how unfair Islam is towards women, as we're going to see even more as we continue in our study. What we read here in the Quran cannot be the word of God. This is not how prophets will speak. And all that Muhammad is doing here, he's trying to fix a problem which he created when he segregates between people concerning who they are, men or women. Allah favored men over women, and women are favored over Muslim slaves. And the Muslim slave is more favored than the female Muslim slave. And the Muslim female slave is more favored than a Jewish man or a Christian man. And we can go on and on and on to see how Muhammad segregated between people. Some of them are always better than others. And we can read more about that in the book of Ahkam Ahl al-Zimma for Ibn al-Qayyim. Now let's move on to another verse. That is Quran chapter 4 and verse 34 concerning the punishment of the females. For there we read, men are in charge of women by what Allah preferred some of them above the others, and by what they spent out of their money. So good women are obedient, guarding in secret that which Allah has guarded, and of whom you fear rebellion. So preach to them and separate from them in the bed and scourge them. So if they obey you, so do not seek a way against them. Surely Allah was higher, big. Notice again here, we learn that Allah was higher, big. Now Allah is not higher, He's lower. And now Allah is smaller, not big. Now let me share with you why Allah descended that verse on Muhammad. It is written that a woman came to Muhammad after her husband had slapped her on her face, asking him to bring judgment on him. So Allah descended that verse that men are in charge of women. So she obviously left Muhammad without receiving any justice. Now also we read that Ibn Jarir stated that Al-Hasan stated that a man from the Ansar slapped his wife on her face. So she came to Muhammad seeking his judgment. So Muhammad judged that man. So Allah quickly corrected Muhammad by saying to him, that is what is written in Quran chapter 20 and verse 114. So Allah is exalted, the King, the truth, and do not hasten by the Quran before its revelation is completed to you, and say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Why is Allah telling Muhammad not to hasten, not to rush and make up decision before he received the commands of Allah? Because Muhammad made a mistake. What was the mistake? He actually judged for the woman against her husband who slapped her on her face. A man by the name Ibn Marduya stated that Ali said, a man from the Ansar, those are the people who helped Muhammad, came to Muhammad with his wife, who said, oh, Messenger of Allah, he struck me. He beat me on my face. So Muhammad said, he have no right to do that. But then Allah corrected Muhammad by sending Quran chapter 4 and verse 34, where he stated that men are in charge of women and men can beat their wives. So where is the reality? Where is the logic? Where is the correct judgment which must come from the Prophet of Allah that a man hit his wife and Muhammad want to please his men? So he turned the judgment upside down from what is right to what is wrong. And he is actually counting on Allah's word for that, the true revelation of Allah. That does not make any sense at all. Now, some Muslim would say, well, the beating here will be option number 3. You see, a man is doing everything he can according to the reading of the verse to fix his wife. But if she will not be fixed by the first 2 corrections, then he have no option but to do the third. And that is the beating.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Notice, the word of Allah in Quran 4 and verse 34 did not begin by beating or scourging the wife. But it actually goes like that. And of whom you fear rebellion, so preach to them and separate from them in the bit and scourge them. And that is the best propaganda Muslims use to lighten the matter concerning the punishment or the discipline of men on their wives. Not realizing that and in the three verbs action, meaning that all the three verbs must be performed at the same time, which means if a man fears that his wife may rebel, and notice here, not that his wife rebels, but if he fears that his wife may rebel. So before the wife rebels, that is what Muslim men would do to their wife. Number one, preach to them, and number two, separate from them in the bed. Some Muslim men would say, you see, as much as a man is punishing his wife, he himself is also punished, because if he could not make love to his wife, he himself is not receiving the pleasure, not realizing the fact that Muslim men have many wives. So he's punishing one, but not himself, because he can perform his sexual activities with other women, especially the unlimited number of concubines and slaves. But the last and the third verb which Muslims practice, which is scourge them. All three, the preaching, the separation from bed, and the scourging, all three actions would be performed together, not one after another. Now, some Muslims also defend Muhammad and defend the Quran by saying, well, that beating here is actually light beating, which does not cause broken bones or shedding of blood. And man, oh man, when I see how much loving and peaceful these Muslim men toward their wives, they will not beat them hard, but they will beat them lightly. Just bruises all over their body is fine, but no blood come out from under the skin and no broken bones. What an evil way of thinking how men should treat his wife in that savage cult, the cult of Islam, especially not because they rebel, but because men are afraid that maybe their wives will rebel against them. Now let's move on to one more verse in Quran chapter 4 and verse 43. That is concerning drinking and praying and the doctrine of tayammum. For there we read, O you who have believed, do not come near the prayer while you are drunk, until you know what you are saying, nor after sexual orgasm, except that you are merely passing by, until you wash. And if you have touched the women, so you do not find water, so rub your face and your hands with good dirt. Surely Allah was pardoning, forgiving. Once again, Allah was pardoning forgiven, which means Allah no longer pardon the Muslim believers, nor will He forgive them, because was means past, not the present, nor the future. So what do we have here? We have two very important acts Muslims practice. Number one, they cannot drink and pray. And here is the story as it was given, why Allah descended that verse on Muhammad, as it was stated by Abu Dawood, who stated that Ali said, a man by the name Abdurrahman ibn Auf made a meal. So he invited them. So they all went and they drank from the wine, and they drank a little bit more than they should drink. And then they went to the prayer. So they asked Abdurrahman ibn Auf to lead the prayer, which means he'll be the imam. So he started reading what is written in Quran chapter 109 in his prayer, as Muslims do. And instead of him saying, "O you the infidels, I do not serve what you serve," he actually said, "O you the infidels, I do serve what you serve." What a great error. And when Muhammad heard that, Allah descended on Muhammad the new verse, Quran chapter 4 and verse 43, which in it, Allah commands the Muslims, do not draw near the prayer while they are drunk. And that is according to the interpretation of As-Suyuti of why Allah descended, Quran chapter 4 and verse 43. But if we examine that verse, we will discover this is just a reaction to bad activities. This is not a revelation from God. And that verse actually did not say that Muslims should never drink, but he said do not drink and pray, which means you can always get drunk after you pray. You can get drunk in the evening. But obviously Muslim will tell you that is what is known by the progressive revelation, that Allah reveals some command and he make it a little bit harder and a little bit harder. And in the end, Muslim cannot touch or drink wine. I'm sorry, God, the true God of the Bible, does not give commands in these ways. It is right or wrong to be done or not to be done. Now let's go to the second half of that verse, which is known by the doctrine of tayammum. What is tayammum? That is what we read in the second half of that verse. That is when Allah stated in Quran 4:43, and if you touch the women so you do not find water, so rub your faces and your hands with good dirt. Surely Allah was pardoning forgiven. Normally in Islam, this something is called wudu. That is known in Islam by ablution, which is the wash before the prayer. And if there is no water, a Muslim man can do the wudu, not with water, but with good dirt. And if you ask me, what is good dirt? I will tell you my personal opinion. That is a dirt, a loose dirt, which means that dirt does not have neither camel urine or defecation. All right. So what is the story behind that verse? Oh, there is always story for every verse in the Quran. Don't forget that Muhammad wrote his 6,000 verses of the Quran in 22 years or so, which means Muhammad wrote less than a verse every day. So if you just live your life and circumstances happening and you start writing one verse here, one verse there, you can easily write a Quran bigger than Muhammad in less than 10 years. But here is what happened. You see, Aisha, that is Muhammad's favorite child wife, stated, according to the great scholar Al-Bukhari, we went with Muhammad in one of his travels. But on her trip, her necklace got broken and she lost it. So the Messenger of Allah and all the people with him were searching for that necklace. And because they did that, now they are unclean because they are touching everything. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that is Aisha's daddy, came to her complaining about what she did by saying, Aisha, do you see what you have done? The Messenger of Allah and all the people do not have any water to wash. That is obviously to perform the prayers. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came to Muhammad and Aisha, and Muhammad laid his head on Aisha's thigh and he actually slept. And Abu Bakr told Aisha, you have imprisoned the Messenger of Allah and all the people, and they do not have water. So Abu Bakr blamed Aisha for what has happened. and he was hitting Aisha in her waist, and she could not move because the Messenger of Allah was sleeping and his head was on her lap. And that's when Muhammad woke up from his sleep. And Allah revealed the new verse, which in it he gave a new license for Muslim men to do tayammum, to rub their face and their hands with dirt, which is just as good as if you wash your hands and your face with water. A man by the name Asid ibn al-Khadir bragged about Aisha and her father by saying, "What a blessing we have received because of you." So when they moved the camels, they found the necklace was under the camel. This interpretation was given by Al-Bukhari and also by Qutaiba and by Ishmael, and also was stated by Muslim. So what do we learn from this story? It's very simple. Every time Aisha causes trouble for Muhammad and the Muslim believers, somehow Allah blessed all the Muslims and gives them new easy rules for whatever circumstances they're going through. But what we do not realize here, according to Quran 4:43, that we learn that in Islam, women are dirtier than dirt. For if a man touches a woman, he can be clean by rubbing his face and his hand with good dirt. What an insult to all women for being unclean. And a man can be clean by simply rubbing his face and his hands with dirt. And to continue our study of commentaries of the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.